New archaeological work in downtown St. Louis is uncovering more information about this area's French colonial past from 250 years ago. The Missouri Department of Transportation is planning work on the interstate highways, and a federal law requires archaeologists with that department to assess the historical value of project sites. St. Louis Public Radio producer Alex Hoyer reported on findings a year and a half ago and returned to the site last week to talk with MoDOT archaeologist Michael Meyer about what his team is finding as part of its current work.
Typically, houses, the early French colonial houses, were all built on the main streets in St. Louis, so on 1st Street and 2nd Street on 3rd Street. But what we found on some of our excavations is that the houses that we've located oftentimes are not built near the main roads. They're sometimes built on the side roads, the roads that are running east and west through St. Louis. Sometimes they're built further back into the lots than they were supposed to be built. So the sort of the settlement pattern, the living pattern, is not quite what was supposed to happen. It's a slight alteration.
Now, our current location, we're a few blocks south of the arch grounds. And I don't want to give too much away because you've had problems with vandalism and looting both in the initial site that you did back in 2013 and now.
Yes, that's one of our concerns right now. The site that we're working on right now, I tell people it has great information dealing with the colonial period, the 18th century, as well as the early to mid-19th century. But what we're dealing with is a large amount of prospecting or looting on this site that occurred prior to our excavation here. So even though we have these earlier great French house features, they're crisscrossed by these later backhoe trenches of people prospecting and looking for things like bottles and other items to collect and to sell.
Well, it's interesting you say that because it just goes to show that some history is more important to others, for example, with the bottles, as opposed to uncovering evidence of structures from a colonial time.
Exactly. And it's a matter of perspective. I would point out that the amount of French colonial artifacts and structures in St. Louis is really limited to three city blocks. The amount of bottles dating to the 1870s and 1880s is quite vast.
We first spoke last year, early last year, and we had talked about how you had uncovered the first signs of our French colonial past here in St. Louis. With the addition of looking at this new site, what do you know now that perhaps you didn't know?
Well, with each property that we excavate, we're creating a database of information. Because if you just look at one property, you get a very narrow impression of what people are like. You extrapolate, you're trying to tell the story of an entire village based on one person. And that's impossible. That's foolish to do. So what we've been able to do is, be able to have a larger sample, a broader cross-section of the French neighborhood by being able to look at five or six different homes. And not just properties in general, but we've been able to look at different parts of these properties. So we've looked at houses. We believe we've found the houses related to Louis Bedain and Simon Cossot. But we also been able to look at the outbuildings, things like sheds, things like barns, and that's what we believe we're looking at currently. Not the house, but the activities that occur further back in the lot. It gives us a different insight, different information than simply looking at the house where people did their domestic activities.
And as we stand here right under the railroad tracks, I see four archaeologists working on a site, and I'd say this trench is lengthwise is probably about the size of a school bus or the length of a school bus. Could you maybe describe a little bit more what's going on specifically at this site and what we see?
Well, what we like to do on these types of sites where we're dealing with features or structures that are very difficult to identify, we open up a large excavation area. And this excavation is probably 60 feet by 30 feet. And what we've done is we've used a backhoe to remove the 20th century rubble and fill that's built up on the site, and excavated it down to a layer that we've identified as the original ground surface of 1760, 1770. This is the ground that the French settlers would have been walking on when they first came to St. Louis. Once we reached that level, then all our excavation shifted to hand excavation. So we've taken this 30 by 60 area and dug everything by shovels and by trowels. And we removed approximately 5 to 6 inches of soil by doing it this way.
And when you're looking for features, for evidence of structures, you're looking for evidence of where the vertical wood posts were. That's the way that the French built houses. And much in the same way that you can still see these structures down in St. Genevieve, right?
Exactly. It's very, very unique style of construction. As soon as you identify it, as soon as you see what you're looking at, you know that it is a French-style structure.
You were talking about how you've done a few sites now that helps increase your sample size, so you're not just looking at one structure. Given all that you've done now and are currently doing, what does it tell you about the way that people lived in what was, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but more of the outskirts of what the original French town was?
Well, some of the things we've seen that might sort of, if not challenge prior conception, sort of add to or build on to what we know. Things like status of the individuals. We have an idea of some of the people that lived in this area, and it was a mixture of, you know, low status and high status, wealthy merchants and fur traders, and, you know, Spanish soldiers. The artifacts that we found aren't necessarily distinguished by these. So we find high-class, wealthy artifacts associated with both the higher status individuals as well as the poor, more common individuals. So that's a interesting thing to note. Another thing that we believe that we've seen here is some possible evidence of some of these early French settlers borrowing or using technology or techniques from Native American people. For example, we have some earthen ovens or cooking pits that are very typical of Native American people in these areas that are not commonly associated with French settlers. So it appears that there is some borrowing of culture between the French and Native Americans in this community.
Where did the people who had the highest status live back then?
Usually the highest status individuals focused around the center of town. This is where Laclede built his house, and this is where the market buildings and the main municipal buildings were located. So most of the more important individuals early on were clustered around the center of town. Right now, where we're currently working on, we're in the southern portion, not quite on the edge of the old city, but very close to it. This may or may not be an indication of status. It just may be an indication of convenience. The houses may be located better, closer to the common fields and where animals were kept. You know, that might be a consideration for building out here. That's one of the things that we have to consider.
So where the arch is now is where the highest status folks, Laclede and Chauteau, lived.
Precisely.
What have your colleagues across the country said about your work here? I'm just trying to contextualize what this means here in St. Louis compared to what else might be happening in the country.
Actually, this has stirred a lot of excitement. MoDOT and myself have received far more attention on this project, on this work, than we have ever received on anything archaeological, since the MoDOT's program began. Now, understand that, you know, once you got on the East Coast, there's a lot of colonial period archaeology, in Boston, Philadelphia, and other areas. Moving into the Midwest, there's a lot of French colonial archaeology going up to, Michigan, Fort Joseph, in Illinois. There's a great deal of French colonial archaeology. But this is some of the best French period colonial archaeology west of the Mississippi. It is adding much more knowledge to our understanding of how this region west of the Mississippi developed early on.
And in terms of the time period, not too long ago we interviewed the author of a book about the Oregon Trail. He went west to Oregon from St. Joe, Missouri, in a covered wagon with some mules. And one of the things that he pointed out, and I agree with, is the time period after the Revolution to the time of the Civil War doesn't really get as much attention as other periods in American history, and that's precisely the time period that you're in.
Exactly. A lot of people don't really associate this part of the country, the Midwest, Missouri, with early exploration, early settlement. Oftentimes I talk to people in St. Louis and they, not only don't they realize that there's any history, that there's history going to the 19th century, they're almost flabbergasted that there's history that goes back to the Revolutionary War. Part of the problems that we have as a historical archaeologist is that the early period that we're looking at, the settling of St. Louis, the documents, the histories are in French and in Spanish. A lot of the early actual original documents actually are in France, and they are not in the United States. So it's a little difficult to do truly in-depth research, especially for someone like myself that is working for a state agency and not an independent researcher. Once you move into the next sort of time period, the early American time period, there are very few easily accessible records. The original records are buried in archives somewhere, and it requires a great deal of effort. Once you move past the Civil War, the information is free-flowing. There's a lot of information, original documents and histories written about Missouri and St. Louis from the Civil War on forward. But there is this gap of information, both in the historical information that's available for researchers and of research itself from, as you say, the Revolutionary War period all the way to the Civil War.
I often think about what people 150 years from now will be thinking about this time period, 200 years from now will be thinking about the way we lived. And one thing that occurred to me is that a lot of what we do now is in the digital space that wouldn't necessarily be retrievable by archaeologists as we think of them in the traditional sense. And in that way could do a real disservice to trying to uncover our past. I'm just wondering what you might think about that.
Well, that's a good point. As a historical archaeologist, and I'm looking at the 18th and 19th centuries, One of the things that we look at are things like newspaper accounts. And you learn very early on by looking at these sort of records and looking at histories that history is all perception. It is told from a point of view. So you never get the true actual information by looking at these accounts. And I look at today and, people ask me similar questions. We no longer need to worry about archaeology in the future because everything is being recorded. And I point out to people that, first of all, not everything is recorded. Only the things that we think should be recorded and kept is actually being documented. That's not to say 200 years from now, the things that we thought were important will still be considered important. What we think is trash and we throw away might actually be consequential in the future, and that would be the information that they want to retrieve. And we also have the issue of future researchers looking at historical documents, say newspapers, digital newspapers, digital information. All of that is being told from perspective. It's almost opinion pieces as much as it is news. So how do you tell what the truth is? How do you tell fact from opinion? Well, then you fall back to the actual physical evidence. You actually have to fall back to some form of archaeology. It may not be the way we practice archaeology today, but there will probably be some form of physical retrieval of information to verify or test between the actual and the ideal.
You told me a year and a half ago that this was the most rewarding work of your career. Is that still the case?
That is definitely the case, and it just builds on itself. My bucket list is very short right now. There's still a couple of things on it.
What's on it?
I've never worked in the St. Genevieve area. I know there's great French colonial work being done down there. I would love to even volunteer to experience some of that work. But probably chief on my list right now is Kansas City. There's really no archaeological or historical work done in the Kansas City area. Part of that is opportunity, and part of that is, as it was with St. Louis, it's sort of an overlooked region of the state and the country. And I've been keeping my eye on Kansas City for a while now, and we're just looking for a good opportunity to do some work there.
That's MoDOT archaeologist Michael Meyer talking with St. Louis Public Radio producer Alex Hoyer. About 2 years ago, Meyer and his team uncovered the initial physical evidence of St. Louis's French colonial past. Their work near the river continues.
Des yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche, voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about Ameren, Missouri's integrated resource plan to transition to cleaner energy and about its response to the recently announced EPA Clean Power Plan. We'll also take a look at the aging infrastructure in the St. Louis area. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.
Je sens dans moi mon...